Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this day to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad that you're all here this morning on this beautiful day, this beautiful morning that the Lord has made. Just want you again to make sure that you read our bulletin as well as go to the webpage to stay abreast of all that's happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Summer is almost over. It's have about 30 days of summer left. One thing that we are planning for the summer and is on the first week of October, we are planning to have our community day, providing that we get the street and everything cleaned up. It's going to be the first week in October. Is that the 4th or the 5th, Howard? The 4th. Okay, so we're going to need some help with that. So if the Lord places it on your heart to help out with that, you can see Howard, but that is something that we are planning for the fall. There are other things, of course, that will be happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. So again, please make sure that you go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that happens here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Friends, our Old Testament reading this morning is going to come from the prophet Jeremiah. We'll be reading from the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, beginning at verse 23 and reading through verse 29. So let us listen to God's word for us. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord? I've heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back, those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Our gospel lesson this morning is going to come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading again from chapter 12 in Luke's gospel, beginning at verse 49 and then reading through verse 56. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Wow. I think the Jesus we meet today is certainly not the Jesus meek and mild that we might be used to. He's certainly not the sweet little Jesus of popular piety with the lamb curled gently around his shoulders. The Jesus we meet today is a Jesus who seems to be on fire. He's all fired up. You heard what he said. Don't think that I've come to bring peace. He says, but I came to bring division. I came to bring fire. When I was mulling over this text a few days ago, I said to myself, Jesus, is that you? This morning you sound more like a politician than you do the Prince of Peace. The last thing we need right now is more division. We already have enough division. And we already have people who are expert at dividing us. Can't we just all get along? Aren't you supposed to be the Prince of Peace? But this morning Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, at least not peace as the world knows it. He said, I come to bring fire. I came to set the world ablaze. The fire that Jesus came to bring, of course, is the fire of his passion. Jesus had this passion for the kingdom of God. He was consumed with a deep and abiding passion for God's kingdom of justice, God's kingdom of truth, God's kingdom of righteousness, God's kingdom of love. I imagine that Jesus could have lived a nice, quiet, peaceful life, no drama, but he couldn't because he had this fire deep down inside of him. He had a passion for the ways of God. He was constantly creating a stir, constantly shaking things up, constantly filling people with the vision of the kingdom of God. In other words, he was constantly disturbing the peace. And he said that's what he came to do. He came to set the world ablaze. He came to bring fire. I suspect that many of us may be a little uncomfortable with the fire-bringing Jesus that we meet this morning, especially as Presbyterians. One of the things I like about Presbyterians is the Presbyterians are nice. I grew up around a lot of Church of Christ people and around a lot of Assemblies of God people. And I won't say much about that, but suffice it to say that I appreciate the fact that Presbyterians are nice. And that's the kind of Jesus we often feel comfortable with. We want a nice Jesus, a safe Jesus, a non-threatening Jesus. We want a Jesus whose primary task is to comfort us, console us, and to bring us an overall sense of peace. And I'm told that's why a lot of people come to church. They come to church to find comfort and consolation and a little bit of peace. Peace in the midst of a troubled world. The last thing we want is a Jesus who threatens to burn down all of the easy arrangements and accommodations we made with the world that allows us to find a little bit of peace. But unfortunately, that's not the Jesus we get this morning. The Jesus we get this morning tells us that he didn't come to be nice, but he comes to bring fire. He comes to shake things up. He comes to disturb our carefully crafted world. I suppose, too, that there are people who like the portrait of Jesus as the fire bringer. Not because they have a passion for the kingdom of God or a passion for the ways of God, but because they are attracted to conflict and division and chaos. Conflict and division is their modus operandi. I'm sure you've seen people like that. They love to sow seeds of division. They love to sow seeds of conflict and chaos. There's an old adage, an old story that says that when Jesus told his disciples that whoever comes to me and doesn't hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even their own life, and cannot be my disciple, that all the other disciples recoiled in horror, but not Judas. He simply took what Jesus said as an opportunity to sow division and discord because that was what was in his heart. It's important to understand that when Jesus talks about fire this morning, when he talks about division, when he talks about piercing swords, that he's not being prescriptive. He's not telling us to go out and actively create division. He's not telling us to go out and create conflict in the world, as some people are wont to do. He's not saying anything like that. Instead, what he's being is descriptive. He is saying that whenever we are remade more and more in his image, whenever our hearts are set ablaze with the passion for God's kingdom, whenever we become committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he's saying that whenever we are like that, we can't help but to stir up tensions. Tensions in our communities, tensions in our workplaces, tensions in our society, tensions even within our families. Perhaps some of you have already experienced that tension. You know what it's like to belong to Christ. You know how it can stir some people up. Some people think that your loyalty should belong somewhere else. Some people might think that your loyalty belongs to your particular community, and when you profess your loyalty to Christ, they get a little bit upset. Some people might think that your loyalty belongs to your country, but when you profess your loyalty to Christ, they get mad. Some people might think that your loyalty belongs to your race, but again, when you devote yourself to the love and the grace and the mercy of God, they're a little angry. They can't stand it. But that's what Jesus said he came to do. He came not to bring peace, but he came to bring fire. One of my favorite saints is Saint Francis of Assisi, the 12th century monk who founded the Franciscan order. Francis was a son of a wealthy merchant who expected his son to carry on the family business, which was a trading in silk and cloth. And like most wealthy young men of the time, Francis was not immune from the allures of the world. He loved the party, he loved frolicking with his friends, he loved having a good time. But one day while praying in an old dilapidated chapel, his heart was set ablaze by a vision of the crucified Lord, who told the young Francis to rebuild his church, a task that Francis wholeheartedly devoted himself to. But unfortunately, it drove his father crazy. His father couldn't stand it because his father wanted Francis to devote himself to the family business. And so his father was angry at Francis's decision, especially when Francis started taking money and resources from his father's business to do the work that he felt the Lord was calling him to do. And so his father would eventually have him arrested and hauled into court to make restitution for all that Francis had taken from his father and his father's business. But Francis ended up renouncing not only his father, but he ended up renouncing the vast inheritance that would have been his so that he could take a vow of poverty and devote his life to the work that he felt God was calling him to do. And Jesus says, don't think that I come to bring peace, not even among families, but I come to bring fire. I suppose Francis could have lived a nice, normal little life. I suppose he could have been a nice, normal Christian. Suppose he could have carried on the family business and did what he had to do to show his loyalty to his family. But he didn't, because he had this passion deep down inside of his heart, this passion that wouldn't leave him alone, this passion to serve God. And that passion set him at enmity with his family, especially his father. But that's what Jesus says he came to do. And he came not to bring peace, but bring division. When I was in seminary, I had a classmate who was really having a difficult time. She wasn't from the U.S. She's from another country, and she was having difficulty with the language, learning the language. Seminary is a lot of reading, and so she had a little bit of problems with that. And added to that was the fact that she had two small children and she had to work. And I was saying to myself, what in the world would compel someone to come to seminary given all those handicaps and responsibilities? But she was telling me at one point that when she first got the call to go to seminary that she was married. She had a husband. But her husband felt that women should not be preachers. He didn't think women were called to be preachers. Or at least he didn't feel that she should be a preacher. And so they ended up getting a divorce. because of her decision to go to seminary. I never found out whatever happened to that classmate, and I suppose that she could have lived a nice, normal life. She could have continued in with her marriage and could have raised her children and gotten a job somewhere, but she didn't. She didn't do that. She couldn't do that because she had this passion to do what she felt God had called her to do. And in pursuing that passion, it tore her family apart. But Jesus says that's what he came to do. But he didn't come to bring peace, but he came to bring fire. He came to bring division. Speaking of seminary, I was reading this week about a young man named Jonathan Daniels 60 years ago. Jonathan Daniels was a young seminarian in the Episcopal Church who had this desire to see the kingdom of God lived out in a visible way. So he went down to Alabama along with some of his classmates to help to integrate churches there in the Deep South so that people of different racial backgrounds and colors would go to church together, would worship together, would be seen as God's people together. But that simple desire so angered some of the good Christians of Alabama that one man, a deputy sheriff, took a shotgun one day and he went down and he ended the life of Jonathan Daniels and assaulted two of the other young seminarians. I suppose that Jonathan could have had a nice, orderly career as a parish priest somewhere. Could have did the normal things that priests and pastors did and do. But he couldn't do it because he had this passion, this burning passion to proclaim and bear witness to who God was, this burning compassion to see the kingdom of God made concrete in the midst of the world. He had this passion, and so he went down and he bore witness to what God was calling him to do, and it cost him his life. You know, Jesus created conflict and tension wherever he went. You know, he was ran out of his hometown of Nazareth. You would think that his hometown would be a place that would welcome him, and I guess many of them did. But in his first sermon there, he was actually ran out because people didn't like what he had to say. His family thought he was crazy, thought he was insane. His brothers didn't believe in him. He was run out of Capernaum. The Samaritans didn't want him coming through Samaria. He created conflict and tension wherever he went. And in the end, he was arrested and crucified on the cross. And none of that happened because he was being nice. None of that happened because he was being Jesus meek and mild. I suppose Jesus could have lived a nice, quiet little life as a rabbi. He could have lived a nice little life somewhere teaching in a synagogue, but he couldn't do it because he had this passion deep down inside of him, his passion to do God's will, his passion to do God's work, his passion to be what God had called him to be, this passion to die for the whole world, to die for you, and to die for me. He had this passion which led to his passion on the cross. But Jesus says that's what he came to do. He had this fire deep down inside of him. I didn't come to bring peace, he said. I come to bring fire. I come to bring passion. I come to break up the false peace that the world has to offer. This morning, you and I are relatively blessed. We live in a world where Very little is often asked of us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In some places in the world, to be a follower of Jesus means trouble. In some places in the world, to say that you are a follower of Jesus could cost you your freedom. It could cost you your life. But here we are this morning, on this beautiful Sunday morning, we get to come here to the place like this, and it doesn't really cost us anything. I know that there are more and more people in our country that don't go to church. More and more people find what we do here this morning is something that's a rarity, but we have the opportunity to come here this morning and to come to church and to worship and to gather together and fellowship together as God's people. But still, I wonder about our passion. Sometimes I wonder that the fire that is deep down inside of us has gone out. But maybe the fire in our hearts needs to be rekindled. Sometimes I wonder that if there's no tension between our lives and the outside world, we might ask ourselves if we haven't domesticated the good news that we have in some way for the sake of some kind of peace. If we haven't domesticated the text and hid the light that we are called to have under a bushel of nationalism, under a bushel of racism, under a bushel of whatever it is that we believe that we have to give allegiance to in order to keep the peace. Have we domesticated the gospel? Jesus says this morning that I come to bring fire. I come to bring division. Jesus says, I come to take away the false peace of the world. I come to take away the peace that you think that you need to rely on. Jesus says, I come so that you might have life, real life. I come so that you might recognize what real peace is. The peace of belonging to God's kingdom. The peace that comes from dying and rising with Christ. Jesus wants to know this morning if we have the fire. He wants to know if we have the fire that he came to bring to us. He wants to know, do we have the passion for the kingdom of God? Do we have the passion to live it out? Do we have the passion to love our neighbor? Do we have the passion to love the world? Do we have the passion, or are we willing to hide that passion for the sake of some kind of peace? Are we hiding our passion because we don't want to stand out? Are we hiding our passion and our concern for the world because what we prefer is a nice, mild, meek Jesus that simply leaves us alone and lets us go about our business? Jesus says, I come to bring fire. I want you to have fire, my fire. I want you to have the fire of love. The same fire that burned in my heart, the same fire that propelled me on the way to the cross. I want you to have that fire that loves God and that fire that loves the world, that fire that loves people, that fire that loves even the sinners. I want you to have that fire. Because it's only in having that fire that you can truly bear witness to what God is doing in the world. We're gathered here this morning as people who are called to bear that witness in everything that we do. And I know that we have that fire here at Olney Presbyterian Church. I see that fire kindled in the people who were here for our vacation Bible school and helped to teach the kids in this community. I see that fire in the people who are dedicated to bearing witness here in this community to what God has called us to do. I see that fire in people who give in so many ways. And we thank God for the fire and the passion of the people who give in so many ways here at Olney Presbyterian Church and has given in so many ways in Olney Presbyterian Church. But Jesus says that's what he came to do. He said he came to give us fire. I want you to have fire. I came to bring fire. I want you to have passion. Passion for the ways of God. Passion for the ways of love. May we continue to open ourselves up to the passion that Jesus calls us to have here in this community, here in our world, as God's people who are called to bear witness to the good news. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, it is because of your passion and your love that we are gathered here this morning. You have called us out of the world that seems so scary at times, a world that calls us to put our faith and our trust and our loyalties in so many things for the sake of peace. But you have given us, through the power of your Holy Spirit, your passion, your fire, to love God and to love each other. You've told us that you have called us to be disturbers of the peace, the false peace that the world has to offer. And so we ask that you help us to be open to your Holy Spirit that shakes things up, that disturbs the easy arrangements that we make with the world and calls us to go out into the world filled with your holy fire. You've called us to be that light that shines in the midst of a dark world. And if ever that light needed to shine, it needs to shine in the midst of our society today, in this time and place. Help us to be the light that shines in the darkness. Help us to be the people who burn with your fire. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.